Well, it is Wednesday. We do not have any NRL coming up on Thursday. What we do have is a whole heap of representative games. And as a result of that, there's some markets up on that. So we might have a bit of a look at them. We do that with Jared Condon. He is from readingtheplay.com.au. I think he might be in doubt if he had to play in an Origin game. I'm not quite sure he's fully fit, but he's on the line. G'day, Jared.
G'day, Jimmy. Yes, that COVID stick hit me last week, and it certainly did a good job. But on we press, and, gee, there's some nice football coming up this weekend, and there's talk that this is going to change next year and into the future years, but I love the fact that we have this weekend of rep footy and the internationals flavouring in the middle of Origin on a Sunday night. It's just a brilliant weekend.
Yeah, fantastic. Can't wait till we see, for the first time in 3 years, the Kiwis running around, and of course Tonga running around as well. So why don't we have a look at that game first before we get to State of Origin number two. The Kiwis have named a very strong side. We've now got access to their 17, highlighted by Joey Manu at fullback, Dylan Brown and Jerome Hughes in the halves, and then Brandon Smith at hooker. Talk about spines, Jared. It's pretty strong.
Well, Jimmy, and then we've got Foran coming off the bench, and wrapped around them are just big bodies. I mean, it's going to be a massive clash in the middle. And, Jimmy, this game just sets up a mouth-watering look ahead toward the World Cup later in the year, because this is an incredibly strong New Zealand side. I'm sure that Tonga get better. It's already a very, very strong side, but I'm sure some experience around 6 and 7 into the World Cup, they're only going to be much, much stronger. Australia clearly are going to be right amongst it. There's reports out of England about whether and how strong their side may be, but, gee, that's going to be an amazing clash. But this one first up, I mean, I just see all of that muscle, all of that power around that Kiwi team. They're playing back at Mount Smart Stadium, where they haven't been for, what is it, 3 years? The three tests that they've played against Tonga here, they've won all three. I think they've got the edge in the spine. Clearly, Tonga very strong in the forwards. That'll be a great clash through the middle. But they're looking for two young, inexperienced, fresh-faced rookies to play 7 and 6 in the heat of battle of such a clash. And I certainly think that swings it to New Zealand's favour.
Yeah, no doubt. If you want to throw at the back too, Toletau Kola, he's going to be their fullback. So there's another youngster, inexperienced player in the spine, Junior Amon and Isaiah Katoa. Hasn't played an NRL game, going head-to-head with those guys we mentioned. I can't wait to see Joe Tarpany. I think he's been absolutely spectacular over the last 5 or 6. His form has coincided with the resurgence of the Raiders. So I think he's going to be a standout for the Kiwis. Samoa, Cook Islands, and Fiji, PNG on Saturday. And then Sunday, mate, New South Wales v Queensland. Everyone's had their poor old Jake Trbojevic. We had the analyst yesterday say he must make a good cup of coffee because that's the only reason he thinks he'd be in the side. I don't know where you're going with that, but what did you make of the respective squads?
Well, Jimmy, the first question is, if this is the squad that Freddie puts out for game two, has he got it right? And if that's the case, did he get it wrong for game one? Because he's made 7 or 8 changes, and some of those I just find somewhat astounding. I mean, I think Campbell Gillard's been in outstanding form at a club level, and I thought that the minutes that he played and the work that he did in Origin 1 were very good. I would have kept him, but what it now means is that there's only two notable front rowers in this lineup, and that Jake gets pushed to play number 10 in a role that is not his normal role on a week-to-week football. I think through the middle, Queensland have an advantage. Now, clearly what Fittler is trying to do is play quick and, you know, try and get some ruck speed back into their game, trying to get the ball to their key playmakers quickly, try and get a little bit of offload. But, yeah, Queensland are very strong through that middle, Jimmy. I think they've lost nothing with the replacement of Cotter, because Arrow was 18th man for Origin 1. He's played Origin before. I think his club form over the last 4 or 5 weeks has been outstanding. Again, they bring in a really high work rate player, and that then still allows them to bring Carrigan off the bench in that impact role that he was so good at in game one. So I don't see the Queensland a disadvantage. We go to a neutral field. It's going to be a late afternoon Perth time game. Mm. It'll be a very fast track. The weather forecast is for a clear, sunny day on Sunday, but also in the days in the lead-up. So the last Origin game that was there 3 years ago, we saw 42 points. I think we're going to see a lot of attack and a lot of points. I think we're in for a cracking game.
Yeah.
I still have to be with Queensland, though.
Getting confirmation of whether it's Tino Fasua-Malaawi, Lindsay Collins around, who's starting there for Queensland. I'll ask you this one, Jared. With Appy Coruscant in the starting side and a presumption that Isaiah Yeo wasn't quite right for the last game, do New South Wales now have more footy in them? Forget about the quicker man or the bigger man, more footy in them than they did previous game.
Well, I think they need to have, Jimmy, but I still worry about what they do on the right edge. Now, clearly, Crichton comes in on the right, and he has that combination playing off the back of and outside of Cleary at club football. But whatever they did in game one was to the left. They scored two tries there, Whiten and Murray. And I've got to say, if you go back to the Whiten try came from a 15-metre bullet pass from Cook on the left post.
Correct.
That set that up. So, you know, Cookie would have to be feeling a little bit how you're going about all of a sudden now coming off the bench. And at what stage does he come off the bench and then for how long? Because Coruscant clearly looks to be the P in Fittler's eye for how he wants to turn this around. That's just going to be a really interesting combination. I still think New South Wales favour the left. I think that that combination of Luai, of Murray, of Burton. Jimmy, I think we made a lot of money last year playing anytime try scorers around Burton. I surely think that he's in the picture again on Sunday night. But I think Queensland probably played the same way. The key out of, and I don't know that it's got as much publicity as possibly it should have been out of game one, was the role that Ponga played. Ponga set up that first try on a short right edge when he went to Cobbo.
Yes.
Little kick inside, Gagai scores. He sets up the try on the left edge. Again, down a short side, wide pass to Holmes. Holmes scores. He's been very instrumental in playing both sides of what they've done. And I think that's very important to what they bring to this game. But Jimmy looks an absolute cracker.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah, people say, oh, New South Wales were dominated through the middle. They weren't. They were held down a bit longer or held up a bit longer than the Queensland side. Where they scored their points was, as you quite rightly say, a right edge, a left edge, and then an overread by Tedesco on DCE out of the scrum. Here's one for you. Explain this to me. How does Brad Freddie Fittler play CSC for Talakai, who's named in that number 17 jersey?
I don't know that he gets a lot of minutes, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I think he's going to end up warming the bench and maybe get a 10-minute impact somewhere into the second half. And then the question, you're right, is where does he actually play?
Yeah.
Because I can't see. I expect that Murray plays 80 minutes on the left. On the right, you've got Liam Martin, and I expect that he gets rotated with Crichton. Right? We know who the forward and middle rotation's going to be, and that's going to be three guys asked to do a lot of work.
Yes.
So does he then play Talakai in the middle? I mean, I would have thought that that's a bit of a risk. So then where does he play him? I actually think he's going to end up on the bench for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, you're asking, what is it, 80 minutes, right? You're asking for 160 minutes from three middle players. If you exclude Isaiah Yeo as a middle, you've got Payne-Haas, Jake Trbojevic and Junior Barlow, as you mentioned. So, yeah, I think Talakai in the middle. And I would suggest that Harry Grant, Ben Hunt, etc., when he gets in the middle, they are screaming at each other. All right, you know, Billy Slater will bring both those players on at that time to exploit that through the middle. So,
his other option then, Jimmy, is to bring Murray into the middle and play Talakai on the left.
Yes.
Which is where he has been playing for Cronulla. So he may end up as left second row. And, you know, Murray goes back in the middle. I actually think that that weakens them because I just think Murray, as we saw with what he did with that try in game one, you know, he's much better on an edge. His footwork's outstanding. But he's equally as good through the middle and he's just a world-class player. But, Jimmy, I also have some reservations. Talakai's form's been outstanding. But he has some problems in defence.
Yes.
And you're right. I think that he'll have a red dot on top of his name on a whiteboard going into Sunday. And he'll be a key target player for Billy Slater. And Jimmy, just what about the coaches? I mean, Billy Slater, we talked about this going in the game one and our expectation and our respect for how Slater had handled himself. I mean, it just reads so much like Bellamy, doesn't it? The influence of what he's had to say, the calmness, the professionalism, how finely tuned they are, the difference in preparations this week for both squads. He's a coach of the future, Jimmy.
Isn't he? What? Attention to detail is the other one that they all talk about. Red dot above a player. Okay, so that's... I'm just thinking about that in the rooms. You say you never want to be assisting police with their inquiries, and you never want to be a player with a red dot above you in a whiteboard situation. All right, mate, you better give us your best bet for this coming weekend.
Jimmy, I personally think, and all of my numbers, that Queensland should be small favourites. It's on a neutral ground. It's game two. There's a great record of the team losing game one, responding in game two, and I'm sure New South Wales do. I would not be surprised if they win, but I have Queensland about 1.5 to 2 point favourites. I'm going to stick with that. I can't go against that number. But I think there's points in the game, Jimmy, and I think the best bet is the total points over 38.5. So I know how excited you are that it's over and not under, and I think yes, we're going to see lots of attack.
I'm with you.
Game one was 36. We expected it to be low. We got 26 points in the game. But there were two or three near plays for both teams that nearly went to tries. I think we'll see better execution now that they've had a run together. And on this dry track, points are plenty.
22 degrees and sunny. That's the forecast for Perth on Sunday. And as you say, it's actually Sunday afternoon as much as it is Sunday night. All right, the over 38.5 is $1.90 at this point. Jared, I hope you are wrong about Queensland, and we want a decider up there at Suncorp, but I appreciate your professional input.
Jimmy?
Yes?
24-16.
24-16. There, you've called it. Okay. And who's that to, New South Wales or Queensland?
You better rewind back a little bit.
Thank you.
Take care.